has never made any declaration. But among the fathers of the church, as we call them, the great saintly wise leaders in the church in the first centuries, many tell us, as many angels fell, as there will be human beings from the dawn of human creation until the end of time. Their number is legion, which is a biblical symbolic term for countless numbers. And hell came into existence the moment the angel sinned. You might almost define hell. Hell is the experience of those who resist the will of God and refuse to repent.
Idios,
in mente mea, loquendo ad mentes vestras. Oh Lord, I would like to give this retreat in Latin. I make strange sounds. You might get a sound here and there. We are surely less than angelic. What a safe statement. For the angel, or better, plural angels, who fell, envied these human beings. They realized, and this is good Catholic teaching, never defined by the Church. We may say God created the human race in order to replace the angels who sinned and lost the friendship of God. The devil envied these human beings and I'm speaking to an audience of women and the devil's eye was not on Eve, it was on Adam. The devil wanted Adam to lose God's friendship and thereby deprive the whole human race until the end of time of so many blessings, which, except for sin, would never have been lost. But he had never done this before. But he offered himself as the devil. Let's see if it works. The devil began with a woman. She gave in. And the man, as the devil expected, followed. Or the woman, what verb should I use? Tempted, urged, seduced him, that's the man, to do. And that has been the history of the human race ever since. Women shape the history of the human race. So then, our first parents, as we casually say, fell. And once Adam sinned, we are scratching on granite. We do not comprehend, we are dealing with mystery, but we believe that God, in his justice, can watch it, because, and only because, the parents of the human race disobeyed God, this affected profoundly influenced the whole human race ever since. For many people, original sin is two words. Just a minute. Original sin. That's what some people believe in. I know of no single mystery of our faith on which more depends our understanding of, I would not hesitate to say, everything in Christianity, on our understanding both the fact and the meaning of original sin. In other words, once our first parents lost the friendship of God, I repeat, we do not comprehend, which means fully understand. But we better believe that because of our first parents disobeying God and losing the divine friendship, that is why, as Augustine puts it, what shall I call man? A living life? Or a dying life? It's a dying life. What shall I call man? A dying life or a living death? The moment we were conceived in our mother's womb, we began to die. If this were what it's not, a 30-day spiritual exercise, with not just 3, but up to 5 hours a day for 30 days of meditation, for how much I would like to spend in time explaining how closely. That's not the answer. Causally related are sin and death. The human race is mortal because the human race is sinful. But we know that's not all. First parents sinned, they are not yet lost what God had originally intended to make the human race. Immortal, not just in spirit. Our bodies will never, recover the immortality which they would have had. And our first parents not sin. We must all die. We must all decay. And the science of cosmetology, with the over $7 billion, my latest figure, spent on cosmetics every year in the United States, forget it. Our bodies will die, decay, and be delayed. God knows how long. Millennia. I think the end of the world, as we talk about it, is still, I don't say centuries, but thousands of years away. What a long sleep that will be. As I've told people over the years, every time you go to sleep, remember, this is both a prelude and should be a preparation for that last sleep. He will go on for no 6 or 8 hours, no 6 or 8 weeks, but perhaps thousands of years, for our bodies, shall we say it, wake up. How will we mistakenly call the last day what the church before refers to call the first day? Sin brought death into the world, but our first parents, in offending God, lost more than for them and for us their bodily immortality. They and we now become subject to pain. Every pain we experience should be a reminder that we are sinners. Not necessarily our own sins. Can a child, a newborn infant, suffer? It sure can. All because of sin. But more still, having sinned, our first parents lost what they had before they fell, and we would have possessed had they not fallen, and that is a built-in, we call it preternatural, built-in preternatural mastery of our desires. We would not have inherited whatever we would not have inherited what we call the normal polysyllabic term, concupiscence. We have urges, desires, tendencies, passions. You coined the word, which are not sins by themselves, but unlike what would have been our condition had our first parents not sinned, we have sinful urges. We call them, not quite accurately, the seven capital sins. More correctly, we have seven capital sinful tendencies. And over these, I found it useful to coin memory schemes to remember what otherwise would be forgotten. My favorite memory scheme is places G. Pride, lust, anger, covetousness, envy, sloth, and gluttony. Places G. My dear sisters in Christ, we are all, no exception, we are all naturally proud. Father, please watch your language. I'm watching it very carefully. We are naturally lustful, naturally irascible given to anger, naturally greedy or covetous, naturally envious. And when I know this, we are naturally lazy. I've taught too many students for too many years not to know how the laziest faculty in our human nature, yes, is our mind. the last thing a human being wants to do is think. My Jesuit students would offer to a load of carload of 40 tons of coal to be exempt from class. Anything but think. Laziness, and we're all naturally gluttonous. During my graduate studies in Rome, one of my Jesuit converts from France told me, our social scientists tell us in France, the whole country of France could be fed in any year on the food that you Americans waste in 1 year. We are the most fed nation in the world. This spontaneous tendency towards sin is one of the tragic consequences of the sin of our first parents. However, my main concentration I wish to make on our own personal sins. Call this the last stage in the history of sin. Whatever else we should know, whatever else God wants you to learn in this very short retreat, is to realize, I use that word deliberately, realize we are all sinners. We have sinned. Once you realize that, I assure you, then our life takes on real meaning. Without the recognition of our own sinfulness, so much of our life here on earth, all we can believe, we can trust, or we begin to understand our place in life only when we firmly and convincingly believe we are sinners. It is not my judgment. It is that of the vicars of Christ in the present century. The 20th century is the most sin-laden century in human history. Nothing like it in the history of the human race. There have been more wars fought. Do I say fought? They are going on throughout the world. We had more death casualties since 1900 than all the previous wars of human history. There have been more murderers. Beginning, as we know, with innocent, unborn children in their mother's womb. More abortions since 1900 than all the previous centuries, many times more from the dawn of human history till 1900 AD. And what makes the matter most serious is that murder is now part of the law of most once civilized nations. Kill an unborn child or a child being born, and you're protected by the laws of most of the nations of the world. You try to resist that massive global murder, and you are condemned as a criminal. And how do those who still have their sanity and some semblance of Christianity, how do they react? Most of them take it for granted. After our Supreme Court, remember, legalized abortion. The day after, the Bishops' Conference in Washington came out with a one-page, very solemn document. I'd rather die than have to say it, which could have been written by an abortionist. My God, I pray. Where are there still bishops like St. John Fisher, remember? The only member of the English hierarchy who told Henry VIII, you cannot reject your wife Catherine and marry your mistress Anne Boleyn. That's adultery. All the other bishops came in. Years, as I think I've already told you, in work with the Holy See, has taught me many things. The single greatest need in the Catholic Church today is to have bishops who are ready and willing to be martyrs. Pray for our bishops. We have all sinned. We do not begin, I repeat, to comprehend the mystery of sin. But we better understand, as far as with God's grace we can, why has God allowed us to sin? There must have been, and there still is, a profound divine purpose in God's allowing sin. Why has God allowed us to sin? To see this is to begin to understand why we are making a retreat. My dear fellow sinners, good morning. God has allowed goes to sin to provide us with a means of growing in humility. The most fundamental virtue of our Christian life. Humility. The word humilitas was in Latin before Christianity came on the scene. But what Christianity did to the Latin vocabulary means that the Latin language ever had before. Humilis, which is humble in English, in Latin means well, dirt-like, because humilis comes from humus. You know what a humus is, don't you? In Detroit, they started in great big bags in the early spring for your garden. In more prosaic language, humus is good, plain, dark dirt. Why has God allowed us to sin? To help us, I don't say stay, but become humble. And there is no humility without humiliation. Thank God for the people who humiliate you. Father, please, I repeat, we need humiliations. I'm not telling you to like humiliations. I'm telling you we need them. And our dearest friends, oh, how wonderful they are in providing us with what we so desperately need to be humiliated. Well, the deepest source of our humiliation should be the realization deep down inside of who we really are. We are sinners. We can have in the minds and eyes of others. But we know ourselves. How about it? We should grow in knowing ourselves as sinners. And whatever else we decide as the fruit of this retreat, decide daily, even more than once daily, looking into your soul and seeing where, how, and when you have offended God. Why has God allowed us to sin? To keep us humble. Why has God allowed us to sin? To practice that indispensable Christian virtue of charity. You think, after living with this sinner, as for each of us, myself, over these years, we couldn't stand the sight of ourselves. there is no one, no one on earth has done us more harm than we have done ourselves. And yet, wonder of wonders, is it possible that we have a shed of love for ourselves? Shed of love, do I say? How dearly and deeply we love ourselves. Why has God allowed us to sin? To practice the virtue of charity. All we have to do is look into our own souls and frankly admit, Lord, nobody should love me. In other words, reflection on our own past life of sin. And by the way, I thought I'm going to tell the Lord, exactly 8 meditations during this retreat. Should I have a meditation on sin? Yes. That's why we're having this meditation. The fact that others have offended us should never keep us from loving them less. In fact, it should be, what a statement, loving them more. Because they need more love. And the measure of our love of those who have, as we casually say, sinned against us. The measure of our love for those who have sinned against us, we are dealing with mystery, is the divinely ordained condition, or is giving grace to them through us. Why has God allowed us to sin? To grow in patience. As I'm sure we all know, patience comes from the Latin verb patire, to suffer. But what? To suffer willingly. Everybody suffers. But not everyone is patient. To suffer willingly. How patient God has been with us sinners. Then he provides us with a wonderful privilege. The privilege of not just enduring, I am still in my right mind, but enjoying suffering by our patience, because this is when God became man to teach us. Who teach us what? To teach us that the measure of our love for someone is the degree of our willingness to suffer from that person whom we claim to love. Why has God allowed us to sin? What's the verb? To increase our generosity. Remember after his resurrection. on the shore of the lake. After the apostles had fished all night and caught nothing, then Christ told them to throw the net. And then, anybody know how many fish they caught? Anybody remember? 153. Look it up in John's Gospel. And big fish. What a statement. Then the divine cook, Jesus Christ, could cook a good meal. Then, and we should the apostles ate heartily. After the meal, then Jesus took Peter aside. Did not even call him Peter. Simon, come here. And the first question that Christ asked of Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these other disciples do? How could Peter know how much the other apostles loved Christ? He couldn't. But he knew that he should love Christ more than the others, because he, the braggart, always putting his foot into his mouth. Peter denied his master. Don't ask you, why has God allowed us to sin? Whatever else I share with you during the 2 days of the retreat, in the name of our Lord, do not forget. Having sinned, we are therefore to be more generous, more loving, more self-sacrificing than we would have had to. What's the verb? Would have had to be had we not sinned. We owe an ocean of debt of love, of generosity towards God. Never for the rest of your days. What a directive. Never again complain. Exclamation mark. Tell our Lord, as often I've told him, I am a sinner. Lord, it's coming to me. You're asking, why has God allowed us to sin? And here we are saying, so we might be then again, that word, be more generous, more self-giving than we would have to have been had we not sinned. One more, and I could go on for hours, but one more. Blessed purpose that God had. Blessed purpose in allowing us to sin. Yes, to trust Him. God does love us, and you're not exaggerating. Loving us sinners. He loves us deeply. He loves us dearly. And Only Christ could have said this. Remember, there is greater joy in heaven over one sinner who has repented than over 99 who have not sinned. Trust. Be at peace. And this is one. There were especially two sacraments that Christ instituted. And these two sacraments need to be deeply, for all of us, more deeply understood than ever before. They are the sacraments of the Holy Eucharist and the sacrament of confession. Can you just imagine being still laden with the sins of your past life and not being a believing Catholic? Trust you that God in His mercy have restored you to His friendship because you have confessed your sins and received what we Catholics believe is the remission of our sins and a restoration to God's friendship through this wonderful, strange language, blessed sacrament of peace. My statistics tell me some 70 million Americans manage to get some measure of what we call quiet peace through medically prescribed tranquilizers. 70 million. At the root of every disturbance of the emotions, in the heart of all the worry and anxiety of the human race, is the sense of guilt. What a wonderful gift from God. Trusting in Him who made us to love Him and who have so often loved ourselves more than Him, which is one of my favorite definitions of sin. In His mercy, we trust. We are in His friendship and He loves us. Loves us dearly. And with this because having sinned, we are to be more generous, more patient, more loving, in a word, more holy than we would have had to be, to use that strange language, had we not sinned. Lord Jesus, we are profoundly grateful for your mercy to us sinners. We beg you to keep us humble in realizing who we are, ungrateful sinners who have so often offended your divine majesty. But give us especially a wide open heart to love you in loving those whom you placed into our lives. And the more our love for them costs us, the more we know we are loving you, the sinners. whom you love so dearly, has to shed your blood out of love for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.